Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IIFL Finance Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of IIFL Finance, I thank all of you for joining us on this call. I'm Kapish Jain, the Chief Financial Officer. On this call today, I am accompanied by Mr. Nirmal Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Monu Ratra, CEO for IIFL Home Finance, Mr. N. Venkatesh, CEO of IIFL Samasta Finance. I'll hand over now the proceedings to Mr. Nirmal Jain to comment on the economy and the group's overall strategy, including performance for this quarter. Over to you.
Thank you, Kapish, and a warm welcome to everybody. In terms of economy and macro environment, I think we know that the environment is turbulent. As far as Indian economy is concerned, underlying factors still are positive. While all of us have noted that the consumer demand had a slowdown last quarter, maybe a quarter before there was a bit of a pent-up effect of post-COVID demand. As far as demand for credit is concerned, it remains robust. Most of the segments of credit basically continue to see strong growth, double-digit growth, for the whole economy or nation as a whole. Interest rates have increased significantly. In fact, RBI repo has gone up by 225 basis points, but most of it has not been transmitted because the longer tenor loans, what we already had are at a contractual rate. Even at the incremental borrowing, we are able to negotiate better given our track record and the way we have handled the crisis in the last five years. The cost of fund has gone up marginally, and what we also passed on to our customer is a marginal impact and not the okay, the repo won't reflect in a tenor loan of 3-5 years. Having said this, you know, I think let's keep. I don't want to comment on the geopolitical or the market volatility, but underlying economy remains strong. Whether it grows by 6.5 or 7.5, that may be matter of debate, but the demand for credit is growing. Unless interest rates go up significantly from here, we see that the outlook will remain positive and very optimistic on that front. Whatever interest rate hikes have happened till now, I think that at least our customer segments have been able to absorb to that effect. Now, I'll just briefly comment on our four businesses and then hand it over to Kapish for more detailed deep dive into the financial numbers, and then we'll take Q&A. You know, we have four core businesses, as you're aware of. In gold loan, there has been intense competition because there are a number of new NBFC players who just jumped in, and also many banks, and particularly the smaller banks, have become very aggressive. What they do is kind of undercutting of the price where they try and set up branches near, or they try and take our people and offer to the same customers at a low rate. Sometimes these rates are below the cost of funds in the hope that you know, probably they'll be able to take the rate increase later. What we are doing and what we've been doing in last few quarter is that rather than react to this short-term strategy or approach, we track our customers and we make sure that you know, even if they go for our rates which are you know, not affordable by us, we track them. Whenever the competition, they try to you know, take interest rate hikes in a manner which is not straightforward, we try and approach those customers again. What we have seen is that October, November months were not good for our gold loan. There was degrowth, but in December we rebounded strongly. The quarter we ended with, I think 3% growth on a quarter-on-quarter. YoY growth remains fairly positive, about 20% for most of core products. In fact, many competition now they are understanding, and some new fintech who are not able to raise capital, that undercutting price is not a long-term strategy. Also, our brand is positioned on what we say CD Baat, that we try to be transparent. Even if we lose business in short term, we don't resort to the knee-jerk reaction or approaches where you have a teaser rate and then later it turns out to be something else. Home loan, again, we are moving more granular. Our ticket size is falling. And in fact, the subsidy received, that's what probably would have depressed the growth a little bit, because subsidy gets adjusted in the loan amount of the customer, and to that effect, to that extent, cost comes down. But here again, probably we would like to see faster growth. The impact is, the growth has not been as strong as we would have liked it to be in quarter-over-quarter, primarily because we are moving to a smaller loan. So the number of loans that we are processing is going up more significantly, and the ticket size is falling, and our more and more business is coming from what we call spoke locations or smaller places, compared to hub locations where competition is intensifying more. But I think, as our network has, in the home loan also, in fact, our branches have grown up significantly in the last 9 months. And as we get into smaller towns and we get market share there, I think the growth will become stronger. Microfinance has seen very strong growth, in fact, 55% YoY. But in industry, many good players have grown at that pace, and the demand is strong. The environment has become far more positive with the very pragmatic reforms by RBI, where a number of reforms, including the removing the price cap and income-based assessment, where the loan amount can be higher. And even our interest rate has gone up, but we should note that we are taking the interest rate increase only on the new loans and not reset the old loan interest rate, and therefore the portfolio rate will grow at a slower pace, but over a period of time it will catch up. And microfinance, I think the industry has turned around very well. We are very well diversified geographically from a strategy point of view. In business loans, we have a loan against property segment that has grown. That again is intensely competitive with NBFC and banks. But what we are trying to do is focus on small ticket first property loans, which is like, you know, the ticket size typically can be less than 10 lakh rupees incrementally. So there's the sweet spot that we are trying to target. These are the home loan customers or the same segments where they already have a loan, the loan has been repaid, then they take a new loan which is classified as the loan against property, primarily against self-occupied residential property or smaller premises. But you know, the digital loan, now we are separated this time, because digital loan is a loan where we kind of do it untouched by hand, where entire end-to-end processing is digital. Our strategy is to partner with big players who have got digital footfall. In digital loan, if you look at most of the fintech, then they don't make profit despite very high NIM, primarily because customer acquisition cost is very high. What we want to do is that we don't want to incur customer acquisition cost ourselves by aggressive digital marketing, but we are tied up with a number of players, and many bigger relationships are also in pipeline where the testing is going on, and the launch will happen very soon. So we get the leads from these players, and where we share the NIM or the fee in a pre-agreed manner. Now, the digital loan can be personal loan and business loan both. So in India, many times sole proprietor mom and pop shops are like, it's difficult to classify whether it's a business or personal, because many of these self-employed people also use their personal account for business purposes as well. So the digital loan is loan where we are going to get digital. I mean, there actually branches may refer, but primarily they happen through our app and through website, and the leads come from partners. So these are I think unsecured loans, predominantly unsecured loans. So you have to keep it separate so that loan against property, which is like a mortgage, can be tracked separately. So with this, I'll hand it over to Kapish to take you through the financial numbers, and we'll come back for Q&A. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Nirmal. Just to tell you about the financial numbers and the performance. IIFL Finance profit after tax, before considering the non-controlling interest part, for the quarter was its highest ever at 423 crore, which is up by 37% on a year-on-year basis. It's up by 7% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, same time last year. This, ladies and gentlemen, is largely driven by the AUM growth and also some bit of expansion that happened on our NIM part as well. We recorded pre-provision operating profit of around 772.7 crore during this quarter, which was up by 26% on a YOY basis and 12% on quarter-on-quarter, same time last year. As what Nirmal mentioned, our loan AUM has grown by around 24% YOY and 5% sequential quarters to 57,941 crores. If I further dissect this and focus on our core products, which is largely the retail products that we hold, that segment grew by 26%, 2% higher on a YOY basis, and 5% quarter-on-quarter to 54,689. and the core product segment now comprises of 95% of our total AUM. The non-core AUM primarily consists of the constructions and the real estate financing, which further shrank by 7% on a YOY basis, in line with the strategy that we have shared with the market earlier. As I mentioned, 95% of our loans are retail in nature, and 67% of our retail loans are PSL compliant, which excludes gold loan products. But having said that, gold loan products still qualify for a zero risk weight for the bank, and therefore banks, even though they are non-PSL, are keen to buy these assets from us. Lastly, the retail and the PSL compliant loans are of significant value in the current environment where we can sell down, and with the kind of pristine asset performance that we have shown to this market, banks have always been keen to buy this from us, and we ensure that we have a proper management and oversee on these assets from a collection, recovery and risk management perspective. In line with the capital optimization strategy, 39% of our AUM is either assigned, securitized or under co-lending, and bulk of it is now under assignment and co-lending, and going forward we'll see a larger share of co-lending emerging in this number. The assigned loan book currently stands at 15,939, up by around 67% from last year. Besides this, there are securitized assets of 1049, which is going down. And the co-lending book is the key highlight here, which I should mention, is from zero, almost gone to around 5,700 crore in this particular quarter end. It has been made possible by new relationships that we've added on the co-lending piece. We've added UCO Bank and Punjab and Sindh Bank for co-lending of our gold and home loan products, including the MSME LAP products. So during the last 9 months, to support our growth, we have added 669 branches and 4,318 employees in all across all our businesses, which on a result shows a higher cost to income, but with the monetization happening of the newer branches and the resources and people, we strongly believe that we should be able to bring this number down. And this is actually has also helped in our overall disbursements going up by around 44%. From 9 months to 9 months. Our annualized return on equity for the quarter is at around 17.9% on a lower gearing because we had the RDI infusion of 2200 crore which came in the previous quarter, which is bringing our gearing down and therefore has some impact on the overall ROE with dilution on the capital position. And the ROE stays strong and stable at around 3.4%. Our capital adequacy for the standalone entity stands at around 21.5%, which is well above the minimum threshold of around 15%, which is clearly suggesting that we are able to grow ourselves without impacting hugely on our capital position through the on-book, off-book structure and model that we hold. Our average cost of borrowing marginally increased by around 10 basis points and around 16 basis points Q&Q to around 8.79. This is despite what Nirmal mentioned, 225 basis hike in the repo rate and close to 100 basis points hike in the MCLRs, or maybe 110. The gross NPA is touching closer to our endeavor or the guidance that we have given of around 2%. It currently stands at 2.08, and the net NPA similarly stands at around 1.06, significantly down from our 2.42 and 1.22 respectively, which we gave and which we reported in the previous quarter. With implementation of the ECL model under AIF, the provision coverage ratio on the NPA today stands at 164%. Earning per share For the quarter and not annualized stands at around 10 rupees per share, which is up 22% year on year, and the book value of per share is now stands at 225.6, which is up by 41% year on year. A brief update on our liquidity position: during the quarter, we raised around 4340 crores of term loans, bonds, and refinance, all long term money, which helps in my ALM very strongly. Additionally, we did around 3,700 crore of direct assignments of retail loans to banks. Our cash and cash equivalent and committed credit lines from banks and institutions of around 8,462 were available at the end of the quarter, adequate to meet not only for the near-term liabilities, but also to fund the growth momentum. And I must mention that this liability and liquidity position is also helping us in negotiating our borrowing without showing any desperation when we go and fetch for new liabilities from our bankers. We have a positive ALM thereby. And inflows over and above the exceeding outflows across all buckets, as you could see through the presentation that we have. The net to debt equity, netting off with the liquidity position, is down to 3.2 compared to 4.2. And the total liquidity for the group, as I mentioned earlier, is around 8,562. Loans classified as digital loans are part of the unsecured business loans with an active customer count of around 3 lakh. As what Nirmal mentioned, on the digital front, We continue to focus on digitization and analytics to improve customer experience and enable a convenient one-stop shop for purchase and investor needs. Our gold loan at home initiative, which started approximately 2 years ago, also saw significant traction, with disbursement YOY increasing by around 90% to 260 crores for this quarter. With this, I come to an end and we are open to Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from Dhanush Shubhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand the gold finance business a bit in detail. What kind of tonnage do we have here, and what kind of LTVs are we running, average LTVs on the portfolio? And we can also speak on the competitive intensity. There's been some amount of balance transfers happening to banks. So if you can speak on that. Thank you, sir.
So, in terms of tonnage that we have, I don't know. So I think our average loan to value is around 16-30%. So, what is the tonnage you have? The number with you? Okay, maybe we'll get that number. I don't have it right now with me. In terms of industry, since last year it became very competitive. But what we are seeing is that there are a few new players, and they try to do balance transfer, and in terms of that's a practice that happens in this industry. What we have to do is that from as far as we are concerned, we make sure that money is coming from customer's account, because you don't want to violate, even for a smaller amount, the money laundering and the KYC process, what it is. And if you get our full money, obviously customer has the right to take his gold back. But the competitor that is trying to do balance transfer has to put money in customer's account without the gold, and to that extent, and then normally what they do is that the people will accompany the customer, get the money transferred to customer's account, customer will transfer to our account, and then basically release the gold. This is as far as outbound balance transfer is concerned. Inbound we don't encourage normally. If customer is very old and known, but other than that, I think customer have to come on their own.
Understood, sir. And tonnage, will you come back to me, sir?
55 tons, I think.
55 tons, and this has grown on a YOY basis and a QOQ by how much, sir?
I'll get you that number. Must be 8-10%, but I think it will grow. So I'll get you those numbers, and maybe we'll try and put those numbers also.
Sure, sir. And if I can...
Before the end of the call, I'll get you those numbers, yeah.
Sure, sir. And if I can please, just one last question, sir. If we can split the AUM into less than 1 lakh ticket size, 1 to 3 lakhs, and more than 3 lakhs as a proportion of AUM, sir, it will be very helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, so I think we'll get you these numbers by the end of the call, hopefully.
Thank you so much, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saptashri Chatterjee from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the digital loans. Now, if I see digital loans, the GNPA percentage has reduced year on year or quarter on quarter, but there has been degrowth in dispersal as well as AUM. Can you please explain what is happening in this side?
Can you, so you're saying that what has reduced the
asset quality?
Asset quality input, that's what you're saying, right?
So asset quality has been better, but the AUM as well as dispersal both have reduced. So it should have been more aggressive on this part, right?
Yeah, it's a very valid point. So in digital loan, what has happened is that there was RBI circular in September, which basically laid down certain guidelines for partner sourcing. And particularly, I think from Credit B and Baiju, the incremental loans have been insignificant, and the earlier books are typically short tenor, so they run down very quickly. So, organic growth is there in that loan book and is very strong. Maybe What you are seeing is a quarter-on-quarter number. I mean, that's where the September RBI circular had an impact. Now, in terms of asset quality and all those things, so there was, okay, some old book which has been, which has been written off or which has been closed. So that could be one reason. A year ago, the book was quite small. So, you know, the growth, although you don't see growth in this quarter, but in the previous two quarters, there has been good growth. But this quarter, again, the continuing partners or where we have a direct, where we are fully compliant with the RBI's new guidelines, that business is growing. But there are two large partnerships that actually has shrunk in this quarter.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. And secondly, as a data point, like in 9 months, FY23, I see that around close to 658 crore kind of a provisions that you have made in the PNL. Can you please give a breakup of how much is coming from like a write-off, how much is from standard asset provisions that way?
No, sorry, can you repeat the question?
So, can you please give the breakup of 9 month provision number in the PNL?
Okay. I think it's there in the slide, but I'll give it to you. I'll get these numbers because I think that these are numbers are quarterly. So for 9 months, we'll just get you these numbers before the end of the month. So I mean, the previous question of Subhranshu, the gold loan tonnage has grown by 20% YOY.
Okay. And sir, lastly, if you can give, like, if I see your investment book has grown by around 1,000 crore quarter on quarter also. So what are the general breakup of the investment book and how much investment, like how much investments we are doing on the IIFL wealth side on their funds?
No, this data is not correct actually. I don't think they have grown by quarter on quarter by 1,000 crores. Unless they're including mutual funds or the liquid assets in this. So, and where have you got this 1,000 crore number from?
So, if I see your balance sheet from quarter 2 to quarter 3, and both including like cash and as well as short and long term investments.
No, so in short term investments in liquid mutual fund, whatever liquid we have. So that will keep varying based on sometimes you put in liquid mutual fund, sometimes you put in FD. But other than that, there's no change in the investment.
Okay, so as on date, like we have around 3,000 crore kind of an investment. What is your like exposure towards IIFL wealth funds or real estate funds?
Yeah, so IIFL wealth, no, there's the IIFL wealth fund, there's nothing much, but the real estate fund of SSG, there is about 1,000 crores, 900,000 crores is there in that fund in total.
Understood, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sharaj from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was again on the write-offs part. The MFI book, we've taken around 100 crores of provisions this quarter. And again, there's apparently been some write-offs here because the PCR hasn't gone up. So can you quantify this amount?
So there's 123 crore write-off in the MFI book. And primarily because there are some of the old loans. Although we continue our effort to recover, but above 180 days or the older loans that we written off. And there was provision last time also. So there is a provision which is there last time, and also additional provision has been created on the book which is growing faster.
So if I see the provision, it's actually come down quarter on quarter, the overall provisions on the MFI side. And
so the old provision release is taking care of that, the new loan. So I think the total hit to the profit and loss account in MFI is how much? Because I think the provision was created done in last few quarters, and against that we have written off the loan book. So some of the older loans, they get fully provided for given the provision policy that we have in MFI. And out of that, some of these things have got written off.
So can you quantify the amount again for the write-off?
Yeah, I'll just give the amount 1 second.
Okay, and sir, have you seen incremental slippages? Because if I look at the stage 3 again, it's come down by around 35 crores only. Whereas the provision we've adjusted is around 100 crores. So do we continue to see some slippages here? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Hear me?
Hello. Yeah, I was asking,
Hello.
sir, am I audible?
Yeah. So I'm saying in MFI, we have taken 105 crore rupees of total net provision.
Total hit to
P&L, including the write-off.
Yes.
So the write-off plus new provision minus old provision is 105 crores.
No, I wanted a write-off figure actually, sir. Just the write-off figure.
I think write-off figure is 123 crores.
123 crores. And sir, are we continuing to see some incremental slippages here, or is it broadly now provided for?
Now, no, incremental business after November 21 is doing very well. The older one where we had a moratorium and restructuring cases, that is what we've been trying to sort out. So that I think is becoming, I think the problem is just getting sorted out. So older loans, whatever we can recover, and there's a good recovery also, or wherever we can close by one-time settlement, so we are doing that. So what we have done is that we have divided the book into two parts. The older book where during the COVID period, all the restructuring and moratorium was given, we are handling that book separately. And wherever cases are getting closed, we just write it off primarily against provision and just get over with it.
So on the credit cost, overall we guide for 150 to 200 basis points for the year. So how should we look at it now and going forward, sir?
So I think it will remain in that range. But as the book grows, probably no. So if you see our book is around 40,000 crores, rough give and take. So, you know, if you see that 150 to 200 basis points, then every quarter will see around 200 crores.
Okay, so we should stay in that range for the whole year, I think. So.
Yeah, we'll stay in that range. It is slightly on the higher side of that range, primarily because still microfinance things are getting sorted out. But you, I think in terms of you know, guidance or expectation, I think we'll be in that range.
Okay. And so on the gold loan side, you mentioned this on the growth we're looking at. You mentioned that the growth is not as per the expansion. But how should we look at it? Going ahead, I mean, given the competition which has come in, both on gold and home loans, how should we look at the growth here?
Okay, just your question, that investment, what you're seeing is the investment done by HFC in CP instruments, which is just short-term instruments, because we had received money from ADIA last quarter, so that money is not fully deployed, so that money is invested in short-term instruments. Coming back to your question on gold loan and home loan. So, you know, gold loan in the last 10 years, we have seen these kind of things happening in spurts where there are some new players come and they think that they can take the market by undercutting. And after some time, they also realize that this is a mug game in which, you know, nobody wins. What I think about gold loan, that what we are seeing this quarter, the gold prices have been firm. Gold loan should do well now. Whatever we have seen is the worst is over, at least in terms of the cutthroat competition and the impact of that on the price. And if you don't want to compromise or you don't want to be in that game, then obviously you lose the growth. But I think that is over and we should see a much better time for gold loan. Coming to home loan again, the segment that we cater to, which is the mid segment, which is around 10-15, maybe, you know, Monu is there on call, Monu?
Yeah.
Can you take this question? I mean, his question, you would have heard that, how do you see gold loan competition or the environment here?
Absolutely. Yes, we have seen that with the interest rate cycle going up and some competition also beefing up. But if you would see that in the last 2 years, we've been expanding ourselves pretty deep in the geographies in the tier two and tier three towns. So we see that as our distribution also increases, if at all there is any slight slackening in the hub or metro areas, we should be able to offset it by our distribution which we have in tier 2, tier 3 towns. And our ability to price comparatively with co-lending also in place, I think we are good to see the growth in home loan to continue.
The competition is intensifying mostly in larger cities. So maybe say top 20 cities or top 30 cities. But our strategy is to expand beyond that where still competition has not reached or is expensive, maybe because the business is not so much as the to cover up for many new players, and we can ride on the golden brand network as well. Am I right, Moon? That's what you're trying to say.
Yes, absolutely. So the distribution and reaching out to tier 3, 2 and 4 markets is there, and this is reflective in our current quarter's performance as well.
But here the problem, as you mentioned, is like basically the ticket size is much smaller. So the overall delta on the book will be lower, right? Or like, do you expect even the smaller ticket size will be able to generate enough volume to give the 20% growth we've been targeting?
Absolutely. So I think to answer this, if you will see that if you look at the HFC numbers, there has been an increase in distribution and the operating cost also there. But at the same time, we are able to have a very consistent growth plan. For example, whatever we grew in the last complete year, we've already done that in the first 9 months itself. So we are pretty confident of continuing this growth because of the efficiency of the technology which we use as well. And obviously, they come up with a better spread than what we get in the urban areas. So we should be pretty consistent for growing as well, along with the profitability as well.
So our ticket size has already come down quite a lot in last few quarters. So now this is the level at which we, you know, this is the ticket size which is a sweet spot for us to operate. So that damage to growth or the impact on growth has already been taken, I think, more or less.
Yeah.
Because we are now at 14, 15 lakhs of the ticket size. So we already gone into these smaller places.
Oh, okay. And so one last question on the co-lending piece. So a lot of our growth has been coming, yeah, but with the deposit growth for the system slowing down, would we see a slowdown here, as in the banks not wanting to extend their balance sheet on the co-lending business and trying to, you know, cater to their own customers? I mean, how do you look at it? Could co-lending be affected if the deposit growth slows down for the system?
No, I think it's very unlikely, because today, if you ask me, the demand for co-lending is maybe 10 times what we can offer. So, you know, what is happening today, that banks still need, you know, in last so many years, if you see PSU banks and many other banks, PSU banks in particular, they haven't really expanded the network while the economy and credit demand has grown much faster, or they've expanded much slower. So the demand is much, much stronger, and still the credit deposit ratio is quite low. You know, if you see the PSU banks balances, then they still have to catch up. But keep that aside for a moment, say that the deposit environment really becomes very difficult. So what is happening is that the CASA is moving to fixed deposit. It's not that the you know, the money is not there in the system. And secondly, you know, if you look at as a company, even if we have to take the loans on our own books, it will not be very difficult for us. Supposing, you know, for theoretically, although I don't think that there's a possibility, at least in the foreseeable future, that we don't have to do co-lending. We can very well keep the loans on our book and grow like any other NBFC for that matter.
Will we have the enough bandwidth for that, sir? I mean,
the bandwidth that we have, I mean, we are managing the loans as of our own. You are talking about equity, maybe?
Yeah, liabilities and probably, yeah.
So that's not a problem today, actually. So in terms of liability and equity, so like our capital adequacy in housing finance, almost 49%. And our gearing is 3 times. So we have enough room to grow on our own, should there be a need for that. But at this point in time, you know, we see that there's a tremendous latent demand. And, you know, in fact, we are not able to, and of course, it takes time to build up your systems, people, train people and network. But the demand is very, very strong. What is happening today, the banks also for 9%, 8-9%, their cost of fund is 3-4%. They get retail credit where the losses are minimal. And they need these for their PSL and for their balance sheet. So, you know, it's a win-win relationship. It's a mutual. In fact, many banks that we are talking to, we are talking about long-term arrangement where they also want to have a commitment that every quarter will deliver so much of co-lending or direct assignment. So, you know, we negotiations are on that front, actually.
Okay. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Deepak.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity, and many congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Sir,
just wanted to understand on the credit cost you mentioned that it will remain in that range. I mean, I just wanted to clarify, what is that range we're talking about? Is it on percentage basis or on absolute basis we are talking about?
Percentage basis. So, you know, on book loan, around 200 basis points in a year. That is what you should try and look at.
Yeah, so that's what we have been maintaining, right? But I think currently it is around 350 basis points, right? As on second and third quarter.
Not really. Because if you see second and third quarter, we have the range of 200 crore per quarter, right?
Yeah, so total is about 330 crores, right?
No.
This quarter,
this quarter is 200 and
230.
And last quarter was 195.
213.
So 213 is this quarter, 213 crores, and last is 195.
Okay, so you look to maintain that 200 basis point kind of a credit cost, right? Even in FY24, if we talk about.
Yeah, so there will be some benefit from old things getting sorted out, but we want to be conservative because we have a digital loan which are unsecured, and you know probably will. I mean, there's still small piece of this going, so we need to keep. So I think that is what probably will be. You know, I think one can factor in that as the expected cost.
Yeah, understood. Fair enough. And in terms of, growth, how do we see the growth going forward? I mean, I think currently we're at about 25%, right? So
I think 25% is the growth that we can, you know, we should be able to maintain next few years.
Okay. So 25% CAGR for next 2-3 years is a likely scenario.
That's what we are targeting, yes.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on the cost to income ratio, the current, is there any improvement or efficiency we are looking at in the cost to income?
So there was slight improvement from 43 to 42% in last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see we'll see improvement over next few quarters. Maybe, you know, you can say that, actually our target internally is to bring it down to 35. Which will take a few quarters, so 1 or 2 percentage points every quarter. If you bring it down, then we'll reach there in the next 5 to 6 quarters.
Okay, but ROE 3.5% is what we have been maintaining, right?
ROE will be, okay, ROA is around 3.5%. ROE has come down a little bit in this quarter because ADIA money, the ADIA equity infusion has added to the net worth, and that basically, so that depresses the ROE a little bit. But over medium term, I think our ROE should be 20% plus.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. Just wanted to check on the capital adequacy part. Currently, the capital adequacy is at 21.5% for the standalone entity. What would be the capital adequacy that you'd be comfortable working with, sir, and at what level you'd look to raise fresh equity to support both the standalone business and also to support the capital requirements of the subsidiaries?
So you're saying at what level will we raise equity, you're saying?
Yeah.
So I think equity... Okay, the way we have structured our business that we should not be desperate or we should not need equity for a very long time. Having said that, when we raise equity also depends on the market valuation, but is unlikely in the near future. So, I think our business model is a little different. Once market and investors have understood it very well, and when we believe that they are giving us a fair valuation, there's a time we can look at it. Or if there's an acquisition opportunity or something, we can look at it. But at this point in time, we don't see any need to do this thing. Okay.
Okay. Is there any covenant with the lenders Is there any covenant with the lenders that the capital adequacy shouldn't be less than 20% or 18%?
Yeah. So there is a, I think that there in the microfinance, microfinance has been one notch below in terms of credit rating. But we'll negotiate because we don't need that kind of covenant given our track record. But yeah, some lenders in more microfinance have a covenant of 18% capital adequacy.
Okay.
So coming to one question about 9 months, that our profit loss account hit is 657 crores for loan losses and provisions. And in terms of total write-offs, we have done is 736. So on the net basis, additional provision, the provision release is 79 crores. Yeah, sorry, you can go take to the...
And also, ADIA has invested 2,000 crores in HS3. Similarly, are we looking for external investors in the MFI subsidiary also, sir?
At some point in time, yes. But right now, we are putting 200 crore rupees from the parent in the company as it's growing. And we have to keep capital adequacy properly. So 200 crore rupees of equity investment has happened from the parent in microfinance. But at some point in time, we'll look at a strategic or a financial investor in microfinance. What has happened in microfinance is industry has passed through turbulent and roller coaster kind of a time period. But after RBI reforms and the recovery in the economy, the industry is doing well. And some of the leading microfinance companies would have seen that their valuations also have improved. So at an appropriate time, what we can do is over the next 5 years, that's not immediate future, is that HFC and microfinance, when they become large enough, then they can be separately listed. Just like we did with our parent company, we earlier had three businesses, wealth, finance and securities. All of them became large enough, we split them. The way we do the demerger, there's no equity dilution required because the holding company shareholders get shares of subsidiary companies and the holding company ceases to exist. But that is something which is, not in the immediate future, but sometime, later this can happen.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Jyoti from Allianz Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling you from a good set of numbers. A couple of things. I think last quarter you had mentioned that there was some high cost borrowing amounting to $400 million. That is likely to get right. So has that happened in this quarter?
No, so $270 million is outstanding. Dollar borrowing.
$270 million. Okay.
One second. Out of right, it's 270 number. I just reconfirm the number. Give me half a minute. And that is due for payment in April 2023, and which we are fully prepared because our cash is much more than that. So we are talking about roughly 2,000 crores or thereabout. And there also, if we get an opportunity, we can prepay some or buy the bonds in the market and close it faster. But at this point in time, what is the outstanding amount?
2,000 crores.
275 million. So that we are fully prepared to repay.
So nothing has come in this quarter, right?
No.
Okay. So most likely next
week. But now I think the residual term is so short that it will be difficult to prepay because people, it's just 2-3 months. So, everybody wait and just close it.
Broadly on the margin,
it's just about 2.5 months left.
Okay. So broadly, how do you sense margins, the shape up in next fiscal, given the fact that, the current levels, do you feel that you can sustain the, this current high level of margins going forward?
Yeah, I think our strategy is to go granular, and that is how we can maintain the margin. So the smaller ticket we do, there's impact on operating cost and the network required, but that basically allows you to have higher margin.
Okay. And on the gold loans, you did describe, but if you can just, give more details about how do you see, growth happening on that side? Because if you see for other NBFCs, who are the gold loan NBFCs, their AUM growth is not happening. What makes you say that, probably better they have, here to come for the, on the gold loan side?
So actually in 2020 and 21, we expanded our gold loan brand network very aggressively. And, we have, as you would have seen, if you have been tracking our company for a few years, that has resulted in significant increase in operating costs because the brand network has almost gone up by 40-50%. So that is what is helping us to maintain some growth. But logically, I think if the industry revised, then we should grow faster than what we've been growing, given the expansion that we did. So I think other players that you're talking about, if they had not grown their network maybe as aggressively, then obviously the same store sales, what you can call them, have been under pressure in last few quarters. It's too early in this quarter, but I think probably you'll see some recovery in this quarter.
Okay. And on the home loans, do you see the competition is relatively less in, smaller ticket size loans, less than 20? Whereas, for higher ticket size, we are seeing the competition and plus there has been slowdown in the growth across the players for the banks and for the NBFCs as well. So, how do you sense that?
No, see, home loans are smaller. You're right. In a smaller ticket size, the competitive intensity is slightly lesser. Although there are some new NBFCs, but they're very small and regional. So when you look at the whole country, then relatively speaking, the small ticket size, which is less than 20 lakh, 15, 16 lakh, or even 10, 12 lakh rupees, the segment that we are now catering to, has lesser intensity of competition. Again, we should understand it's not easy for anybody to become a competitor in this segment because it requires a network of branches and people who can do, say, the title verification valuation in smaller places, and which is operating cost. And when you have small ticket loans, it takes longer to break even. So competition is lesser. And there is where banks are also very comfortable doing co-lending and even long-term co-lending partnership with us.
Okay. And so these digital loans are nothing but the business loans, right?
Business loan and personal loan, as I explained in the beginning of this call, that many times when there's a mom-and-pop shop or a one-man professional or self-employed, and even his business is done from his personal account. So that is one. Secondly, we are tied up with Zest also. So that also we are getting certain personal loans from that relationship as well. So these are personal and business loans both. Mostly, the salaried employees will not come to us because they'll get it much cheaper rate from salaried employees in the formal sector. So they'll get it a much cheaper rate from big banks like SBI or HDFC. But the people who come to us are self-employed, or some of them may be salaried, but in informal sector where the document for their payslip, PF are not foolproof that way.
Okay. So one last thing on the branch expansion side, what outlook can we expect for next fiscal?
Sorry? How much of?
So on the branch expansion side,
Yeah, branch expansion side, we have slowed down the branch expansion, but expansion will continue.
Okay, any
So
numbers there?
we have a team that does the data analysis and keeps tracking the opportunity areas, and we set up branches. I think branch expansion at normal pace will continue forever. But the aggressive spurt, where we did like 40-50% expansion in 18 months, that kind of thing will not happen. But 15-20% or 10-15% expansion every year will continue.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sharaj from Laburnum Capital.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, on the NIMs, I wanted to know, is there any one-offs here on account of assignment income? On the NIMs, is there any one-offs we are seeing on due to assignment income or something? Or these are normalized NIMs?
No, these are normal NIMs.
Normal NIMs?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, on the home loan side, if you could just give some light on the customer segment, is it more self-employed? On the, so I understand we're going more to the tier three towns probably now. So what is the segment of customer we're dealing with and what is our edge here?
Monu.
Yeah. Nirmal, can I take this in?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Yeah. So typically, our customer, about 60% of our customers are salaried people, and 40% belong to the self-employed segment. The TG, the target group which we are looking at is people with a household income of below 50,000 in the urban areas, and in the smaller towns, it could be household income of less than 30,000-35,000. Typically, if you see, these people would be in the blue-collar jobs, and usually these people could be working in private limited companies or even sometimes in proprietorship as well. So this is the kind of a target group which is there. As Nirmal mentioned earlier also, the edge or the moat for us is about the distribution which we have set up for the past so many years, and along with the NBFC network available of gold loan branches, for us to reach and break even is much faster. The opportunity has always been there for everybody else, but to make it a profitable business, if you would look at our cost-income ratios also, would be fairly better off than the industry affordable housing players. The reason for that is how we use technology to enable this and have a faster growth path as well. So I think the distribution, understanding of the local policies process, and the technology has put together gives us a good moat to scale up this business further.
Okay. And so the yields here would be around, what would the yields be offering, around 11-12% or higher?
Yeah, nearly 11%, as you can see, it's about 10.9.
Okay, okay.
Yield has gone up in last 1 year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was it.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mish Garg from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on gold loan. So just want to know what would be the count of gold loan branches today and what is our target for branch expansion and overall AUM growth in gold loan for FY24?
So out of 3,965 branches, around 2,800 will be gold loan roughly. 2,700 to 2,800. So okay, I'll give the exact number. Sorry, gold loan is 2,589. So 2,589 branches.
Okay. Okay. And what is our target for FY24 in terms of branch expansion and AUM gold loan?
So I think we'll set up another 300 branches. Maybe we'll reach 3,000 by FY24 for sure.
Okay, sir.
So our average POS is about 8 crores. That will like to take it higher, 9, 10 crores. So I think 20 to 25% growth is what, you know, we probably target in most of all our core products.
All right, sir. All right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you. Next from the line of Nishan Chavade from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two questions from my side. One is...
Nishan, sorry to interrupt, your voice is not clear. May I request you to speak through the headset, please?
Yeah, is this better now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The question is, first is on the gold loan branches, 300 odd gold loan branches. Just to clarify, you don't need to take any regulatory permission for adding branches, right?
No, okay. Now, there's a bit of ambiguity on this, but to be safe side, we take regulatory approval. So we took approval, we got approval for 1,000 branches in 2020. We got another approval for 700 branches, out of which we would have set up maybe another 200. So we got approval for 400 or 500 more branches in this sim. So we are taking approval. It's a little vague whether we need approval or not. But, I'll give you background that earlier there was a circular when the gold loan industry came under pressure in 2013-14, saying that the gold loan companies, if they expand their branch network beyond 1,000, they should take approval. Now, whether we are a gold loan company or not is again a difficult question, but on the overall portfolio, we are less than 50%. But if you take a look at standalone NBFC, we may be more than 50%. So to around the side of caution, we go to RBI and take their approval. And we actually present them the entire data of how we have gone into under-penetrated markets and what has been the track record of earlier approval and what have we done. So we have the approval now. I think so, we have adequate approval for next 1 year.
Sure. And, just for my understanding, your branches are not exclusive gold loan branches, right? I mean, what you have essentially is a IIFL branch and then you probably do gold or, you can do multiple products from the branch. So it's not an exclusive gold loan branch that you
have. Okay. So practically speaking, if you look at our gold loan branch count is 2,589. Our housing finance home loan is about 370. So what will happen is that some of the gold loan branches will develop as the home loan also. And many times what happens that the home loan works in a hub and a spoke model. Like say in Bombay, we have about 100 gold loan branches, but there will be only 10 home loan branches. But what will happen, those 90 gold loan branches will feed the leads of home loan to those 10. So suddenly we have a branch in Borivali. So entire Andheri to Daisar area will give those home loan leads to Borivali branch. So we leverage the branches to get the lease, but out of these 2,589 branches, almost 2,200 will be exclusive, only gold.
Got it. And just one little bit clarification on numbers. Your cost of funding is going up by around, I think sequentially around 10 basis points sequentially 15 basis points. And annually around 10 basis points. So just trying to understand, what is the secret sauce?
What is this?
What is the secret sauce?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. So one is that, we have a longer tenure loan, and I think if you see, the loans before 2018 were even more, the interest rates were higher than what it is today. And so what is happening is that sometimes when these get repaid, what we are getting now is, even after this MCLR increase, is still not too bad. The dollar loans, which are at a very high rate, I think we've been able to bring that down by 130. Third thing is that in NHB refinance, what we get, because we are affordable and really catering to the low income group, we get from NHB has different schemes, 5%, 6%, 8%, depending on what kind of loans you are doing. So the refinancing is also at a competitive rate. And also, given our track record, we are able to negotiate with banks better. So the premium or what we are paying to MCLR now, we can, you know, now we are able to negotiate at MCLR or sometimes even better than that. So it's a combination of everything.
Sure. And just to understand, in IIFL Finance standalone, as against your weighted average cost of borrowing of 9%, what would be your incremental cost last quarter?
Well, incremental cost last quarter was, one second, I'll give you that. The incremental cost, the new loan.
New borrowing.
Similar. It's similar, it's around 9%.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Navneet Bhaiya, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for the good results. I have two questions. First, your leverage profile, of course, has improved quite significantly after the ADIA money raise. So is there a timeline by which you're looking to revert back to the earlier leverage profile, if you are looking to it? That's my first question. And second is, your standalone results, you know, across your total income, PPOP, there's been a dip sequentially as well as YOY. So while you've mentioned some reasons on the gold loan competition, etc., but if you can throw some more insights on that.
So, okay, there's one also component is a markdown in the value of investment, which, you know, the valuations happen every quarter. And that's why you see that the fair value gain is a little negative. And so the standalone book basically comprises the old business loans, the construction finance and gold loan. Gold loan has been under competitive pressure. And there is a bit of a markdown on the investment that we made. But those valuations happen every quarter. So, you know, that come, you know, it's like a, it's a quarterly movement.
Understand. On the leverage bit, sir, your leverage, of course, after the ADIA money raise is a lot more conservative. So,
in last quarter, year, I think we had a covered bond gain. What was it, Kapish? Can you just say?
So, you know, last year we had the some of the off-book assets which were sitting into a trust, which when they get closed, there was a one-off profit which came up around 202 crore in the entire, in the standalone financials or IIFL Finance. It didn't depend the consolidated numbers, but in the standalone number, this aberration of 202 crore additional interest income came in.
But that in consolidated gets knocked off.
So which resulted in the standalone numbers looking lower compared to last year. Yeah, that's one-off impact. The other is the impact that he talked about, mark-to-market.
Yeah.
On the investment assets.
Yes, sorry, go ahead.
So the second question was on the leverage. Are you looking back to...
So leverage, I think we don't want to go back to the 5, 6 or whatever. So from 3.2, I think we'll be comfortable, at least whatever we discussed in the boards, to go up to 4. And, you know, we, I think we'll try and contain, you know, to, I mean, that should be the level that we should try and not cross.
Okay, and by when would you look to sort of reach that level? Because that obviously means your ROE also perhaps would improve to that extent.
So, I think, you know, given that incrementally we can do co-lending, I mean, we can achieve that level in 12 to 18 months and stay there. And increment as the business mix stabilizes, you know, at whatever level we want. So, it could be 12 to 18 months time by when, you know, we get the leverage back to that level.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from Tusk Investments. Please go ahead.
My question is on the mix of the co-lending securities and on-balance sheet book. So right now we are at around 37-39% on book off-book balance sheet lending. So can you talk on the breakup of the off-book balance sheet lending and the on-book balance sheet lending for the different businesses that we have?
So primarily gold loan, home loan, and LAP are off-book. The construction finance is obviously completely whatever we have is on-book. And business loan also, the digital loans are new. I mean, that's also it's probably more or less on-book. So in terms of if you really want to have the exact numbers, then you can work out the numbers from the loan AUM and the assets on balance sheet difference, which is there in the presentation. But the total assigned assets are 15,939, and total co-lending is 5,700. So on-book is around 36,300, and off-book is around 21,600.
Okay, got it. And incrementally in the microfinance book, are we doing more co-lending or any assignment is happening?
Yeah. So in microfinance also, probably, you know, we'll do more co-lending and assignment going forward. It requires some seasoning, and I think going forward, that's also a great product to be, you know, partnered with banks.
Just to give you a perspective, in the microfinance, the similar objective of capital optimization stayed. We did around 1,550 crore of assignment in Samasta this year, compared to 250 crore that we did in the same time last year. So that's where we are building the similar arrangement for doing off-book assignments for this business.
Last year, we couldn't do much because, you know, because of the COVID restructuring, the entire business was in a bit of a turbulent phase.
Got it, sir. And this time, microfinance growth has been 17% quarter-on-quarter, which has been the major driver for the growth in the book. So, how do you-
Last quarter, 17%, but yeah, I don't... I mean, there's a bit of a aberration, actually. I don't think that growth will continue, but it'll be a strong growth for next, you know, few more quarters. I mean, whether it's 55% YoY or 17% quarter-on-quarter, difficult to say. And it, I mean, if that level won't sustain forever, but 25% is quite doable in this year and next year.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. Other participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Kumar Balasubramanian from HSBC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to check in terms of the capital on the standalone, you know, entity. So the Tier 1 is 13.8%. So what, up to what level of Tier 1 would you be comfortable going with? And also, this declined from about 18% last year. So, any reason for the decline from 18% to 13.8%?
So actually, the last year in the December quarter, there were more assignments and the book had come down significantly. We have not done that in last quarter, but from the March quarter is the quarter when most of these assignments happen. I think we would like to keep it, you know, around 13-13.5% is a level that we would like to maintain for Tier 1 at least.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jyoti Khatri from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So any update from the asset quality standpoint on the CRE book?
No, I think in terms of CRE book, asset quality continues to be what it has been. The CRE environment is improving. If you see the demand for housing in the real estate sector in general, it's seeing good traction. So I think most of the projects, things are picking up much faster than historically what they have done.
Okay. And if you can just tell us, you know, what was the total income generated from the off-book in Q3 versus in Q2?
So I think these numbers are there in the off-book is 530 crore.
Other income which is there, that is purely coming from off-book. What is there in the presentation?
The crowdfund income that you see, 530 crore in Q3, and
Yeah.
476.6 crores in Q2, that is off-book income.
Okay. Okay, sir. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is line of Tripti Agarwal from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Also, just one point, that this time we have given an Excel sheet, which is like a data book, which have got a lot of these granular details that you've been asking for. You'll find those numbers in those Excel sheets. And the numbers are in Excel sheets so that you can, you know, you compare or you can use, you can analyze on your own. Yeah, go ahead, Shruti.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. Just two quick questions. One
is, sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is not coming very clear. May I request you to speak through the handset, please?
Just kindly give me a moment. Yeah, am I audible and clear now?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So, so what I just wanted to understand is that on the co-lending of home loans, I see a quarter-on-quarter decline in the disbursements from about 818 crores to 643 crores. That's about a 20% decline. So I just wanted to understand the reason for the same, because we're talking about very big opportunity in this space and a couple of new tie-ups that we've done in this quarter. So that is one.
So
and my second question is...
Adya Mani, we are sitting on a huge cash on which, you know, we just earn 3-4%. So, although we have a relationship with the banks, otherwise, ideally, we shouldn't do any co-lending till we utilize our cash, you know, and have a huge negative carry there. But maybe, Monu, you have anything to say on this?
Yeah. So, this is one reason which is there, as Nirmal mentioned, and also we have been seeing that we've also been now added a bit of our non-HL book, the loan against property also has got into co-lending as well. So if you put both together, they're almost the same as last quarter. But as Nirmal said, we have ample liquidity we're sitting on, so we'll better consume that first rather than having a negative carry.
Sure. Sorry, did you say that now we're doing the LAP along with home loans? So put together, the disbursement would be almost similar to that.
Yes.
And my second question is that, you know, I just wanted to understand the reasons for such a sharp increase in operating expenses in the home finance subsidy, both on a quarter-on-quarter and nine-month basis. What really is the nature of these expenses?
Yes.
There's the expansion of branches and people happening mostly in... Yeah, you're talking about HFC. Monu, you want to talk? You're talking about HFC?
Yeah, HFC.
Monu. Yes. So if you will see that in the last, almost from the last 1.5 years, the count of our headcount and including the branch network has also increased reasonably. So we are in that, once again, in that investment phase. And because as we are setting ourselves for a brisk growth in the coming years, so this investment has happened in the last 1.5 years. However, as you will see, as we are going to tier 2, tier 3 towns, there is an increase in the operating cost. Similarly, the spreads have also improved because in those markets you can earn a better spread. So now the investment phase is evening out. From here on, we should be able to come back to our original operating ratios as we get these branches more productive.
So how many home loan branches do we have at the end of this quarter?
370. Total about 370 branches.
Got it. I'm sorry if I can just ask one last question, which is in the business loans, sorry, what exactly has been the issue on the digital loan side?
No, the digital loan side, RBI came up with a circular which put down certain guidelines about partnering with fintech in terms of FLDG credit, the monies to go to the customer's account directly and not through these partners. So there are a number of such conditions were put. And you know, that is what has impacted. So there was, you know, we have many partners in digital loan, and particularly two partners which were fairly significant. That's where the business has come down. I think it's a process change because like money going to customer instead of through the partner and many such things, we are just operational issues, we put it down, you know, we try and sort it out. In terms of underwriting, we always want to do credit underwriting ourselves. So some of these partners in business will also come back. It's just a matter of time. I think this circular, if I'm mistake not, came sometime in late September. And that is why you see last quarter, there's some impact on a couple of partner business.
Sure. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this call. I think it was a very detailed conversation, and I hope you'll be able to address all your query. The data book should also help you to do further analysis, and it's in Excel form for your convenience. If still anything further remains, do come back to us at our investor relations email ID, and we'll be happy to address it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.